Good morning, Hope Church. We're so excited to be with you today. Thank you so much for having us. We're incredibly passionate about seeing people release into their destiny and into their calling. And we really want to see people get free of the stuff that holds them back from being who they were created to be. And so that's something that we want to talk about today.
By the end of this morning, we really hope that you'll grasp the truth that there's a destiny and a calling on your life, that you've been made for greatness, but also that you've been placed in a church family where you can really grow into the fullness of all that that means. That God would be the hero of your story, that everything you do would glorify him.
So let's just start by praying. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you just come and fill us right now in Jesus' name? I just ask that you would come and fill every person that's watching on screen today, Lord. Would you come and encounter us with your love, with your everlasting, unconditional love? Would you surround us with your presence, Lord? We want to meet with you today. We want to hear what your heart is saying, and we want to receive it directly into our hearts. So would you come right now and do what you want to do? Have your way, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And I just love that verse. It talks about us being his workmanship. Every one of us is completely unique. God knit each and every one of us together in our mother's womb, it says in Psalm 139. He made us all different. And there is no one else on this earth like you, and no one else on this earth that can fulfill the plans and the purposes that God has in store for you. And often we can get stuck in this trap of comparison, and we look at other people's lives and say, oh, I wish it could be like that, or I wish I could be like them, or I couldn't do that, or I couldn't do this. But actually, we really need to embrace the identity that God has spoken over us as individuals, because the plans and purposes, the destiny that he has for us is suited to us as individuals. The life that God has planned out for me is completely suited to who I am, who he's created me to be. And no one else can fulfill that plan. And that's the same for you as well. What God has in store for you does not look like anyone else. You have a story. Your life story will look different to everybody else's story. And that's something to be celebrated. We are unique and different, and that's a really good thing. There is a mission that God has prepared for you guys as Hope Church. There is a mission that he has prepared for you that includes you, that includes you as an individual. And it is designed to bring him glory, and it is designed to impact the community around you. God has a great plan for Hope Church, and you get to be a part of that. When we discover and embrace our identity in God, we shall go full throttle into what God has for us. And that's really exciting. So what do I mean when I say the word destiny? Our ultimate destiny is to be with the Father in eternity, fully loved by him. But that's not the full story. There is so much more to it. And here's what the beautiful tension, where the beautiful tension of the gospel comes into play. If you have believed in Jesus and placed your hope in him, in his name, to lead you to the Father, you have passed from death to life. It says that in John 5:24. And there is nothing that will separate you from his love, Romans 8:38-39. Our eternal destiny is secure. Now, you could arguably just sit and enjoy your salvation, being loved by the Father, right up until Jesus' return or your demise, whichever comes sooner. But what did Jesus say? In John 14, verse 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." But there are so many commandments, so where do we start? Well, here's the key. Jesus tells us exactly where to start. Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40, it says this: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Heart, soul, and mind. Okay, what's included in our heart, soul, and mind? If we're to love him with our heart, soul, and mind, what does that mean? Well, this is what's included: our desires, our affections, our plans, our purposes, our will, our feelings, our character, and our thoughts. Jesus makes it clear that everything in our lives hinges on whether we love God with our heart, our soul, and our mind, and whether we let that love overflow to those around us. My sister Becky has been reading this book called Imagine Heaven, and it talks about different accounts. The author went around collecting different accounts of people who had died and gone to heaven or gone to hell and then come back to life. And he's collected all these stories of what heaven and what hell is like. It's an incredible book. It is next on my reading list, so I would recommend you read it. And it seems, as she was talking about what was going on in this book, it just seemed like so many of the stories that talked about Jesus said to them all, "Did you love well?" That was the question that just kept popping up in all these stories and all of these accounts. Did you love well? It seems that that was the recurring theme when stood face to face. Did you love well? And that's what he wants to know. That's what he wants to know. That's what he's looking for in our lives. How well do we love others? How well do we love like he loves? Do we love like he loves? Do we love other people well? And here is the most beautiful thing. As we said before, you are his workmanship. You are unique. So therefore, your heart and soul and mind are different to mine. Your heart and soul and mind given fully over to the Lord will manifest differently to mine. The way you love people is different to the way I do. So the pressure of, oh, I need to love like this person loves, and oh, they do a really good job of loving, I need to be like them. That pressure is lifted, because all that's required of you is to be you, to love in the way you were created to love. And that looks different to anyone else. And that's what makes love so powerful as well, that we love with different reflections of the love of the Lord. And that's really exciting when we come together. It's so powerful to love in the ways that we do. For some of us, we look at others and say, I couldn't do that. That's not my gifting. That's not me. I couldn't do this, that, and the other. But that's absolutely fine, because all that's required of you is to fall fully in love with God, heart, soul, and mind. And then you'll walk out your destiny by becoming exactly who you were created to be. You will be you, created by God, uniquely and wonderfully you. Matthew 25, verse 31 to 40 says, "When the Son of Man comes in all his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of these, to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.'" The righteous that Jesus was talking to were confused. When did we love with all our heart, soul, and mind like you talk of? Because for them, it was a natural overflow of the love of the Father. They were just being themselves. They were just They were just full of the love of the Father, that it just overflowed and it poured out to those around them. It wasn't something that they were striving to do. It was just something that came out of being with him, out of loving him, being completely in love with him. It just poured out naturally. So when we read in John 14, 15, when it says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It isn't saying that, okay, if you love me, then prove it and go and serve me. That's not what he's saying. It's a recognition that as we fall more deeply in love with him, we will naturally begin to manifest his love to the world, to those around us. When we spend time with Jesus in his presence, we start to look like him, we start to smell like him, we start to think like him, we start to respond like him, and soon enough, we end up changing the world like him. That's what the overflow looks like. Our destiny is what it looks like when our heart, soul, and mind are so deeply in love with God that it begins to affect the world around us. It can't help but affect the world around us. When the things that he knit into us, as he formed us in our mother's womb, begin to come alive. When the brokenness of our flesh is restored to its original design and we flourish.
So we're his perfect creation, his handiwork, created for specific works. The enemy wants nothing more than to derail us and to cause us to abandon all hope and to abandon the destiny that is on our lives. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus came to give us abundant life, and the enemy came to prevent it at all costs. For many of us, life has not been kind. We've experienced negative life events that have caused wounds, that have interfered with our ability to walk out our destiny and a calling. We've missed what it is to be fully ourselves. We begin to doubt who we are. We begin to doubt what God promised us. We begin to doubt the person that God has created us to be. And we settle back into this idea that I'm saved, God is good, and that's enough for me. Now, I like to think of life's journey as a bit of a road trip, and forgive me for this analogy, I'm probably going to extend it further than it should be. But think about it, you know, as you go on a road trip, things like oil leaks, car tire punctures, bumps of bollards that you might park a little bit too close to, when you run up next to the curb, you scuff your alloy wheels. They're the small little things, the niggles of life, that begin to cause that vehicle to become less than it was intended to be. If you try and drive your car on a flat tire, you can limp along, but you're going to cause more and more damage as you go. And these are just the little niggles. What about those big collisions that cause the side of the car to crumple in, and your doors, now they don't open anymore. Maybe somebody's cruised past and knocked your wing mirror off. You now can't see behind you. As we go through life, we pick up bumps and we pick up scrapes, and life happens and causes us, if we're not careful, to become less and less functioning. And we limp along and we just get by. But that's not God's intention for us. That's not his purpose for our destiny. It's worse than that even, because it doesn't just hinder our own ability to complete the journey that God set out for us, but it causes us to veer perhaps into somebody else's life and cause damage to their vehicle. Again, as I say, I'm stretching this metaphor far too far, but if your vehicle is damaged and you can't see properly, you can't control the vehicle properly, you can't maneuver in and out of it properly, chances are you're going to begin to bash into other people and cause damage to their lives too. Hurt people hurt people. Life, by its very nature, includes these bumps and scrapes. What kind of stuff am I talking about? Well, loss, disappointment, bereavement, shame, embarrassment, harsh words that have been spoken to you, physical abuse, neglect, a lack of love, sin that's happened to us, or sin that we've participated in. All of these things can cause us to begin to limp along and abandon that journey that God had us on, and just opt to sit at the side of the road. Thank the Lord that he is a God of restoration, that he sees the brokenness and he knows how to fix it. That's the abundant life that he's talking about. That's the destiny that Laura was speaking of. You see, we weren't meant to leave our vehicles at the roadside and join the bus queue and wait for our bus to heaven. We were called, Luke 14:24 says, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. We have a plan and a purpose. You have a plan and a purpose, a destiny for your life. We need to get our motors up and running again. The specific work that he's planned in advance that we should walk in. Jesus, right at the top of his ministry, he's just been in the wilderness for 40 days. He's come out and he's now in the synagogue. He takes hold of the scroll and he begins to read from Isaiah, and he reads it aloud, and he's making a declaration to everybody in the room and to the powers and the principalities that would listen. Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. He's declaring to anything and everything that will hear, the enemy specifically that sought to steal, kill and destroy, that he is a God of restoration, and that everything that was once broken and damaged, everything that was imprisoned and captive, everything that was sick and broken is to be restored. Why? To bring God glory. Your redeemed and restored life, walking in its full destiny, brings glory to God. I like to read primarily from the ESV, but I feel like the NIV in Isaiah 6:3 reads a slightly different way, and I feel like it's a better rendition. It says, Isaiah 61:3, that you are a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. That's you. As the Lord works in those broken parts of your life and brings joy instead of mourning, brings praise instead of heaviness, you become a display of his splendor to the world around you. Your healed up life, your journey of walking into your full destiny, is so that we might display his beauty. Now, God doesn't cause the rubbish that happens in our life at all, but he certainly won't waste those opportunities either. We're seeing this walked out on a huge global scale right now with the pandemic. So many promises and so many destinies sitting on hold, seemingly. Things that we want to do that we just feel like we can't do. Many have lost loved ones, lost financial security, relationships have broken down. So many difficult situations within every community of our country. People are being stretched. People have lost freedoms to move around, and people have lost the ability to connect with people that they love. You might feel like you're in a place of captivity right now, that you're trapped by circumstance. You might feel brokenhearted. Jesus says, I'm the restorer of your life for the glory of my Father in heaven. God has not stopped his work, and neither should we stop based on the circumstances that we see before us. Right now in this moment, if you're like me and at times have struggled with this idea that everything feels like it's on hold, all of my dreams and my desires and my destinies, I'm just waiting for circumstances to catch up so that I can really pursue them. If you're like me and you've had those thoughts at any moment, I want you to just ask the Lord right now, what are you up to in this season? What are you doing right now, and how can I partner with you in fulfilling it? He's not stopped, and we shouldn't stop either. Romans 5 verse 1 says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into his grace, in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Every dark moment in our lives is an opportunity for the light of God to shine more brightly. For God to show himself strong in our moments of weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me for the sake of Christ. Then I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I am weak, then I'm strong." Faith is the linchpin here. Faith in God's promises to redeem and restore our lives. Not what the flesh feels, not what the eyes see, not the circumstances around us, but what does God say? Joseph's journey is a prime example of this. He was given significant dreams as a young man, youngest of 12 brothers. He dreamed of his brothers and his mother and father surrounding him and bowing down and worshipping him. And then very shortly after that, he's thrown into a pit and then sold into slavery. And then he's accused falsely and placed in prison. And he spends this whole journey so far from the destiny that God called him to. And yet, at the age of 30, we begin to see him really established in the promises and the plans and the destiny that God had laid out for him. His earthly reality was so far from the destiny that God spoke over his life through those dreams as a young man. That journey for Joseph was all about developing endurance, character, and hope, enabling him to step into and carry the full weight of the promise and the destiny that was on his life. Joseph journeyed from being a young, feisty, and dare I say, arrogant 17-year-old, to 10 or 15 years later, his brothers show up and he is the governor of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. And he has responsibility for all of the wealth and the resources of Egypt. His brothers come and they plead with him, not knowing that it's Joseph. "We really need you to help us out." And it's this moment where Joseph could have said, "Ha, I told you this was going to happen. Here you are, bowing at my feet, coming to me. I knew it would happen and you didn't believe me." But that's not what Joseph did. Joseph was able in that moment to pursue such sweet forgiveness. He released the forgiveness of heaven over his brothers. "What you intended to harm me, the Lord intended for good. God is in this, and I forgive you. I release you. I love you guys." And he brought his family back. God restored, not just through Joseph's life, Joseph's destiny, but the destiny of Israel. Through the hard seasons of the pit and of slavery and of prison, God was refining and honing and perfecting Joseph for the magnitude of the destiny that was going to rest upon his shoulders. Now, fast forward 430 years, Israel have grown and thrived in Egypt, and they've come to the point where actually things have shifted and it's become very hard for them. Israel has its very own Exodus moment, and they find themselves in the wilderness with a promise from God to make them a great nation and a destiny and a calling over them. Yet what they experience is 40 years of difficulty and hardship and grumbling and strife in the wilderness. Yes, that whole process and journey was partly about getting Israel out of Egypt, but a large part of it was about getting Egypt out of Israel. They needed to be purified, they needed to be refined, they needed to be perfected, just like Joseph was, so that they could carry the fullness of the destiny that was on their lives. Psalm 66, verse 10 to 12. This is the story of Israel. It says, For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You made men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out into a place of abundance. The Bible often, and this passage really highlights it in a couple of places, often talks about God as a refiner. That idea of being placed in the fire, being refined by God. You see, a metal worker will take precious metal and they'll place it in the furnace and they'll heat it up to such extreme temperatures that everything gets burned off. All of the extra stuff, the stuff that shouldn't be there, the stuff that is erroneous, the stuff that, you know, we're talking about, if we're talking about Joseph, it's that arrogance and that sort of self-centeredness gets burned off in the process. And what's left is the purified, refined metal. If you're in a season where you don't know what your destiny is, or you know what your destiny is, but it feels so far off because of circumstance, don't dismay, don't despair. For the Lord is at work right now in this moment. He's at work. Perhaps, like Joseph, you're in training and you're being refined and you're being honed so that you look like and you sound like and you smell like Jesus, so that you can carry the full weight of that destiny. Perhaps you're in the refiner's furnace being made glorious right now in this moment. Wherever you are in good company. Matthew 3 shows Jesus' journey. He's baptized by John and then he's driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness where he spends 40 days being oppressed by the devil. And in that moment, Satan challenges Jesus and he challenges his identity. He challenges his calling and he challenges his authority. Thankfully, Jesus didn't spend 40 years in the wilderness, just 40 days. But he came out refined, having had his identity tested and found pure, his calling tested and found pure, and his authority tested and found pure. If you're in a season where you feel like you're stalled at the roadside, don't let the lies of the enemy come against your identity, challenging who you are in God. Don't let it come against your calling, and don't let it challenge your authority as a son or a daughter of God. It's inevitable that the destiny that's on your life will be tested and will be challenged so that it's refined and that it's perfected so that you can handle the temptations and the pressures of life once you're carrying that responsibility. The reality is we're not the hero of the story. Everything that's good of our lives, every blessing, every good gift comes from the Lord. And he displays his glory through us. It's like it says at the end of Isaiah there in 61. All of our healing journey, all of the restoration, all of the refining is so that God may be glorified. Your destiny is not for your sake, it's for his sake. 1 Peter 1 verse 6 through 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, there's that word testing again, the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When fiery trials come, everything else gets burned away, and the Jesus that is in you is revealed to the world. And that's what it's all about. Revealing God the Father through Christ the Son to the world.
So we just want you to take a moment and to think about what the plans and purposes and destiny that God has for you. What has he created you to do? Who has he created you to be that is unique and different to anyone else? And for some of you, you may be thinking right in this moment, I know exactly what God's called me to do, but I don't feel like I'm equipped to do that. And I just want to encourage you with a line that I've heard so many times that I have to keep reminding myself, that God equips the called. He doesn't call the equipped. It's him that equips you for the plans and purposes that he has for you. Like with Joseph, the story of Joseph, God prepared him for what he was going to do. And it took time, and it took Jesus being a part of every aspect of that journey. So I want to encourage you just to come to the Lord with that. God, I know that you have spoken these plans and purposes over me, but I don't feel like I can do it. So Lord, would you come and empower me? Would you come and remind me who I am, who you have created me to be, who you have called me to be? And for some of you, you may be thinking, I have no clue what my plan is. I have no clue what the destiny is for me. And I want to encourage you to just spend some time with the Lord this week and just ask him, God, what do you have for me? How am I different to everyone else? What are the plans and purposes you have for my life? And if you're struggling with that and you still don't know what God's saying, then I just encourage you to speak to your leaders. John and Ruth have said they're really excited to talk to you about your plans and the destiny that God has for you. So go and speak to them. Let them pray with you and just speak life over you. And I want to encourage you to remember that God has a plan for your life, to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. So let's just pray. God, we thank you that you have a plan for our lives. We thank you that the plans that you have for our lives are different to everyone else's, Lord. That you care that much that you would create detailed plans for each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord, that you have created us to be perfectly suited, to be a perfect fit for the destiny that you have spoken over us. And Lord, we just ask that if there's any doubt or any lies that we're believing, would you reveal those things that we may just push them to the side and choose to believe in you and choose to believe what you speak over our lives. We pray, Lord, that you would tell us what are those bumps and scrapes, if we're using the analogy that Kieran used, what are those things that are holding us back from really just running into the destiny that you have for us, Lord. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come, that you would speak to us clearly, that you would prepare us for the things that you have for us, Lord. And I pray that you would just get everybody watching excited about the plans that you have for them. And I just want to pray a blessing over Hope Church right now. I thank you, God, that you have a plan for this church. I thank you for all the ways in which they are impacting their community, all the ways in which they are loving well. And we just ask, Lord, that you would empower them to continue walking into the plans and purposes you have for them. Would you come and excite them for the future, Lord? Would you give them vision for the future of their church? Would you just speak to every individual right now and just tell them what part they get to play in this wonderful mission that you have for Hope Church, Lord? And I pray, Lord, that you would come, that you would fill us to overflowing, that we would just pour out your love to those around us because we are so fully and completely in love with you. Would you give us moments this week where we just embrace that revelation of how much you love us, that we would fall deeper in love with you, Lord, and that we would share that love and we would love well to all those around us. In Jesus' mighty name.